Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love, I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watching the Throne, a lyrical analysis of Kanye West. Today, we are excited to have once again joining us the one, the only, world famous Tony Williams. You know him from songs like Spaceship, We Major, A Star Is Born, and Bonjour. But recently, he dropped the Fame Medley, a live performance video covering songs by David Bowie, Prince, and Lenny Kravitz, and also had a collaboration, a hit collaboration, with For King and Country. And now has a new song with Wale called Everybody Knows. Tony, welcome back to the show and congrats on the new song.
Oh, thank you, man. Good to be back on the show. How are you?
Been doing well.
And I love your show.
I'm happy to hear that.
We have such great dialogues.
Yeah. I still think back so fondly of like one of the highlights of doing the show is just the interview we got to do a couple years ago. And I think my highlights of being at Forbes and actively writing about Forbes is definitely the piece that we put together there too.
That's one of the best pieces I've ever had done on me. Is I would like to say publicly, great job.
I appreciate
great
that.
Job. Great
I
job.
Appreciate that. Well, so I've had a little bit of a privileged position of getting to hear Everybody Knows for the last few days ahead of the official release and just kind of having it playing and in the background and enjoying it. It's one of the things that I love about your music, and this song showcases it so well, is the fusion you have. And this is something that came up, you know, in our interview, in the Forbes piece that I keep harping on whenever I talk about your music, but it's the thing that I'm always so impressed by is how you mix elements from various decades, from your career overall and the different genres you performed in, and just bringing in the horns, the piano, as well as like your voice contrasted by Wale. It's been a jam the last few days. So I'm excited for other people to get to hear it.
Okay, great. Me too. No, man, I'm excited. It's been a long time coming. So I feel like I've been pregnant with this baby for like, oh man, I don't even want to count the years, but yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for the world to catch the vibes.
Yeah. Was this always the version, or was the version that we're getting with Wale more of a 2.0, a 3.0 kind of thing?
This version, which I guess it is basically a remix. There is another version in which we'll release, which is just me as a solo. There's actually another verse on that record that you don't get. You get the Wale verse in lieu of it. So it's a different version, but it's still basically my same performance that you've probably heard before. I'm not sure what version you've had a sneak peek at this Wale remix. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I've gotten to hear it the last few days.
Great. Great. My PR team is on the job.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
No, I didn't know you had advanced your copy. That's great though.
Yeah.
I'm glad you like it. Yeah. All good. Good.
How did the collaboration with Wale come about for this particular song?
Well, first of all, if I could backtrack just a second, you mentioned something, which was my knack, if you will, for mixing contrasting styles or things of that, unsuspecting styles is a word I like to use. But I just really feel like, and I'm going towards your question about the Wale collaboration, I just feel like the world is too full of boxes. And what I mean by that, I just think we're always trying to define everything. You know, everything has a title, a genre. And I just always have liked to You know, I like to think of myself as a genreless thinker, or as, you know, a genreless person. I don't like to be defined by boundaries and walls and rules. And so, you know, obviously, the obvious is that I've been around and in music for a time that has spanned a long time, a lot of different eras of sounds, of music. Those are things that I've ingested and kind of ingested into my personal mental library of music and musical experiences. And so, you know, when I draw from that pot of things, of experience, it's whatever the inspiration that pulls up, and it's not based on, and it's everything. I'm not one thing specifically, but I'm everything. And so that's when I, and that's my mindset when I make music. So it's not a hip hop thing. It's not a soul thing. It's not a rock thing. It's just a Tony Williams thing, because I'm all of that. So yeah. And so that being said, even with the Wale collaboration, you know, and I do, in this particular instance, I think that Wale and I are very similar, i.e., and you know, I've always said that about the chemistry between even Kanye and I. I feel like I've always said, matter of fact, I've probably said this particular thing in the last interview that you and I did together, but so not to be redundant. However, I feel like had I been a rapper, I would have been Kanye, or very Kanye-ish. And the inverse as well. If Kanye had been a singer, he would have been very Tony Williams-ish, which is why we click, our chemistry works together, because we're kind of the same person. But I kind of feel like that, you know, with Wale, I think he's kind of like, not that I define myself as a quote-unquote particular R&B artist, but I do have really solid R&B tendencies, if you will. I like to think of myself as more than just an R&B artist, but I think Wale is kind of the R&B guy of rap. You know, everything is very melodic. His feel, everything kind of feels very, you know, soul, very R&B, very, you know, classic R&B kind of. You know, so I just feel like, whereas typically, you know, that's not always my thing, because I'm also known to take a very contrasting type situation. Case in point, my collaboration with For King and Country. It's funny, I got another record that hopefully is coming out soon with For King and Country, and somebody heard and said, wow, you sound more country than they do. Not that they're country, they're kind of country pop, but they are very Nashville.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just like to think of myself as a chameleon that just has a bag that's just like full of stuff. But yeah, Wale, and we've done records before. My mixtape, I want to say it was Sombroff, some of my best rappers, a friend, is a song, Wale, featuring Wale and Macklemore, called Blazing High. That is, man, it still gets lots of love on DSPs, lots of spins on DSPs. So we've created magic before. So Wale is kind of a go-to. And then also I was on his project, the album About Nothing, something he did a few days ago. I'm actually on the intro song, I think, with Stokely, my vocals. So we work together, you know, so he's kind of a go-to guy for me. So it was just kind of a no-brainer collaboration with Wale. And as far as I'm concerned, like, he did it such justice. I think he just nailed the record. It was just a perfect fit for it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. There's something that blends so well between, even though you two are coming at it with different energies.
Okay.
Clearly with singing versus the mm-hmm. rapping, but there's just such a nice blend between the attitude that you both have and the tone that you both have, that it just flows one to the next.
Yeah, I love, and I'm a tone guy, and I love Wale's tone. It's so signature. It's like, his tone is just, yeah, and as a singer, it's like we're really in, I'm just really into tones and voice qualities. So yeah, I agree with you.
Right, which I think about when I watch The Voice and people will say like, you have a great tone.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I think I know what they mean.
Yeah, I think I'm too outside of that to really like know, but I think I get it. I think I get it.
Exactly.
So you always have such great visuals to accompany your music. Like when we got our we got our hangout session, you just played visual after visual that were all so cool and so cinematic. Mm-hmm. Is there anything planned with this that we can expect?
Oh, of course, of course. You know, I'm like, of course. I didn't come to disappoint. And so, you know, it's not a Tony Wood. Yeah, I got to do my thing with the vision. We had a lot of fun with this one. So anyway, I didn't know if there should be a spoiler alert or not. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure when you're airing this. But yeah, we had a lot of fun. We built a Kyle Elrod, my videographer, video director, and I, and a couple of the other hands, if you will. We actually built a cardboard city, and we shot in a miniature world or miniature cities, and Wale and I's characters are actually sock puppets. I didn't want to, you know, spoiler alert. But yeah, so yeah, I'll leave you with that. It's very cutting edge slash crude at the same time, if you will. So there's a certain charm about the cutting edgeness and the crudeness of it that makes it really magical. So I'm excited to share with everybody.
Beautiful. I just love being able to start a sentence with, we built a miniature city. Like, that's
exactly out of cardboard, out of boxes. So yeah,
amazing.
I'll leave it with that. Very crude yet very cutting edge.
That's really funny. All right.
And you know, my thing with videos, and you mentioned my thought is always that, you know, we're in a time and place where we're just bombarded with optics, you know, with videos, to the fact that you kind of burn out. You kind of just like, you know, it's almost, you're at a point where we've seen just about everything, you know, and we're just, we get so much stimuli that, you know, I just feel like it's very important. And I think it's the same thing in the audio world. It's like, how do you present something that the ear or the eye hasn't been subjected to burnout on it, and so that you can grab somebody's attention? So, you know, I think sometimes we think that we have to keep making things advance into the future. The next thing, the next never has been done. But in this particular case, you know, I think we kind of went to, you know, I think it's the crudeness of it, the rawness of it that is striking in this time where everything is so high tech, you know. So I think that becomes the charm of the video. So it's always trying to find out what it is that can hold somebody's attention.
You know, it's funny you say that, because the other day I was watching clips from the old school Jason and the Argonauts movie.
Yes.
That's using all the stop motion for all the monsters. Yep. And thinking that instead of feeling dated, it was actually holding my attention so much more than just CGI. Yes. Especially having recently watched like Kong and Godzilla, which is just such a spectacle. You kind of start to, at least me personally, zone out a little bit of how impressive the CGI is. We're getting something that's a little more like crude, like basic, like the stop motion. So much more engaging.
Yeah. By the way, I once did a stop motion video. It's called Rainy Days. So if you ever get a chance, you should check it out. Very crude, but very charming. but you know, as you were saying that, what I was thinking, Chris, was just even with audio in the world of audio. And I've always said, I've always felt like the 70s to like early to mid 80s was like the golden era of music. And then we got to a point with the advancements in technology, and we had all these new buttons to push, and we wanted to figure out what we could create with all these new buttons, that music just got so experimental that I felt like the mid 80s through maybe even mid 90s was super cheesy, kind of like we got too much technology, but we haven't really mastered it yet. And it's just a bunch of, let me see what this button will do kind of era, you know? And so we get a lot of music in there that I'll go out on a limb and say it's pretty much garbage when you go back and listen to it now. But even now, I think that, you know, that we've gotten so sophisticated that we've lost all the charm and the heartbeat or the soul of music. So, you know, that's the thing about even this the new record, Everybody Knows. It's like, you know, it's a very straight ahead, straight in your face hip hop beat. But then I went to New Orleans and where my horn players are that I use most of the time, and put a real live New Orleans horn section on top of the record that just gave it some realness to it. You know, it's just always just trying to stay organic and raw. We got to keep a raw edge and keep things real at some point, you know? So that's just kind of a theory that I live by.
I mean, I feel like that's something that a lot of Kanye fans have talked about recently too, even Kanye saying that like imperfections have beauty to them.
Oh my God.
Making something so perfect can ruin it in some ways.
That's right. That's right.
Man. You know, speaking of visuals, one of the things when I was going through your YouTube channel, I saw the Yeezus tour vlog and that it said trailer. I was just like, are you telling me that Tony's sitting on like a full Yeezus tour vlog, like movie, and like he could release this one day? Does he just have that in the background?
if I'm keyed in on exactly what you referenced, there was actually a series that I did, and it should be, it's all, it sits on my YouTube page, and there was a, I don't remember, 7, 8, 10, 9 part Yeezus tour. You know what, Chris, I'm gonna have to go back and reference what that is. Your reference, I'm not sitting on the movie. That answer your question.
Okay,
and may have, that you know what, that may have been something that we
clipped
we
together.
Went down a road to explore and just never really brought to its fullness. So no.
okay.
I don't really know how to answer that, but yeah,
no. That's just me and my Yeezus obsession.
Right.
I saw that, like I saw you rocking the shirt, and I was like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, well, so that would be something.
What with Everybody Knows coming out or just came out, do you are there other things in the works for 2021 that people, you mentioned the For King and Country song. Mm-hmm. Is this the start of
a rollout?
Yeah. do we got a rollout?
Yeah, man. I'm about, definitely not a one-off or a one and done. So I've got a stockpile, and you know, especially coming off COVID, you know, I sat around and I wrote so much music to the point that I just literally stopped writing music because I was just, before I got too frustrated, like I can't write another song and not put it out. I've got music busting at the seams. So I'm not sure exactly what it's going to look like. It may come in the form of an immediate EP to roll out into a first complete project since having signed with a new label, Sidewalk Records, which is actually under the umbrella of Curb Records, which is a Nashville-based label. Nice. And Yeah, I signed that deal with them. It's been about over a year and a half ago, but just because of the COVID situation, we've just kind of gotten behind the eight ball as far as releasing music. So that being said, you know, the label is really excited about having me on board. I think they are excited to the point that they really want to go hard with, you know, with the potential of what we could create. Typically there are they've made their history on, case in point, well, hence the fact that they're a Nashville based label, country music, pop, or a lot of, CCM, which is contemporary Christian rappers. And so now they're delving into a lot more pop / R&B realm. And so, you know, me being one of the flagship or anchor artists, if you will, as far as yeah. that genre is concerned, they're really excited to get behind what I'm doing. So yes, definitely you're going to see in the very near future, lots more coming.
Man, I am excited about that. It sounds like a great match, especially with just how multifaceted you are already, as we talked about, like at the beginning. It feels like such a great fit for you to be doing, like stepping into a world like Nashville and just getting to bring your influences, but also getting to absorb what they have to offer as well.
I'm very excited about it. In fact, I've already started, even the new music that I've been creating actually bends into that area of the country, the country / rustic side of me. I just love being able to add elements because that's just who I am. I enjoy everything, every you know, lifestyle I can embrace, and you know, it's just something to be able to express and not being limited to the things that you can express. So I'm excited about it.
Nice. Well, this will be a great way to kick things off, and then as things roll out, I'm looking forward to hearing them and promoting them. So hopefully the people listening will get all the updates from us on Twitter and just podcast episodes in general, keeping them posted.
Well, thank you, Chris. I always appreciate your support and being a fan, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You've given so much great music for the like decades of my life. So much appreciated.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Well, any last words for the listening audience?
Last words, man, last words is, just in these times, man, COVID, you know, keep your mask on. Definitely keep your mask. You know, I've been between a lot of the big cities lately, and I know everybody's busting at the seams to get out and get moving around. In fact, I can't wait to get back out and start hitting live venues. I'm just busting at the seams. But, you know, just a word of encouragement, you know, a lot of frustration. Be nice. Keep your mask on. And, be cool.
Perfect.
Yeah. Just be cool.
Yeah. Is that so hard to do? Just like, be cool.
You know, just be cool.
Simple as that. Well, thanks for joining us, Tony.
Oh, man. Had a blast. Thank you so much, Chris.